Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans as a part of the Armchair Media Network. Week 5 in college football was supposed to suck, but we ended up learning a lot. It is I, Rob Paul, the Armchair Scout, a.k.a. a reformed Ohio State Buckeyes fan. And with me, as usually always, is AJ. At least we can beat Rutgers, Marchese.
At least you finally admit it again, Rob.
Well, I mean, we get a point guard. He's going to be really good, so that's why I'm back in. Today, we'll talk all about the 2020 NFL draft prospects we saw from Week 5 of college football. Then, we'll preview and pick the secretly bad Week 6 matchups. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, going out to Vegas maybe, looking for a young or a 2-0. Don't draft a running back on the first day. Don't draft a running back on the second day. Maybe draft one on the third. Or don't. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. You know who doesn't get paid anymore? Dwayne Wade. Welcome to ESPN Game Day Celebrity Picker Ranking Time. We had Gabrielle Union joined by husband Dwayne Wade this past week in Lincoln, Nebraska. How'd you feel about Dwayne joining Gabrielle on set?
First off, weren't we saying how stupid it would be if Wade was on the show like last week? we look stupid now.
We
don't
do. I thought Gabrielle Union was a good choice because she's a diehard Nebraska fan from Nebraska.
Glad she came clean about being a UCLA grad, yeah, Rob.
I don't know why, if you're from the Nebraska area and grow up a Cornhuskers fan, you wouldn't go to Nebraska, but whatever.
Especially with all the films being produced in Nebraska. There was a movie called Nebraska.
There's a Bruce Springsteen album called Nebraska.
There you go. See, lots of Hollywood content coming to Nebraska. Gabby had to go big.
Personally, I love Dwayne Wade. Didn't love that he joined her on set. Took away from what she was bringing to the table, and I think she knew more than him about college football.
I 100% agree. Ms. Union, clearly extremely knowledgeable about the Cornhuskers and college football. Mr. Wade, not so much.
In the end, if I'm grading just Gabrielle Union, I give her an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
But if I have to factor in that she brought Dwayne Wade on set, first of all, I'm taking points away from her for bringing Dwayne.
Then Dwayne didn't
add a whole lot. Most of his picking had to do with basketball reasons.
Basketball? Yeah, basketball.
Like, so, I mean, he's a Marquette guy. It's not like he knows, like, Marquette football. I don't even know if that exists. So, including Dwayne, I would drop it to a 6.5.
I did it together and gave him a B.
Okay, good. We're on different scales.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be.
We usually are.
I couldn't put it in a number. It just felt like a B. It was a solid. It was fine.
Week 6 for ESPN game day is gonna be in Gainesville, Florida, for the Auburn Florida game. So I mean, they got a whole ton of choices. So it'll probably be a terrible country singer.
Yeah, or like Tim Tebow.
Oh God, I hope it's not Tim Tebow.
It's just like easy. Is he playing baseball still? Probably not. Right. Minor league season's over. Right?
I could not tell you. If they're gonna pick a former Florida football player, who would you pick? Jeff Driskel?
That's gonna be an actual question. I gotta think. Percy Harvin, probably.
I wouldn't pick Percy Harvin. The Pouncey brothers.
Are they both on buys? I don't know. Like, there's gotta be some major Florida fans, right? That I just can't think of off the top of my head.
I don't know. Florida's like, no offense to Florida listeners, but Florida's near the bottom of states I would want to live in.
It's too hot.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I hope it's Florida-Georgia line.
Didn't I make that joke last week? Yeah,
we either have to reference the Chainsmokers or Florida-Georgia line every single week.
He's dead. I forgot. Remember when they sang the... Yeah, that was bad. Sorry.
That was heartbreaking.
Cut that. I'm not going to cut that. Yeah, let's just move on. Most of the Florida bands I know are really obscure emo bands. Like, is Dikembe going to be there? Maybe. Okay. Diving into the superlatives. Dikembe? Yes, Dikembe. They have a whole LP or EP of Chicago Bulls basketball players' names, but changed to like drug sounding names.
Mutombo never played for
them. No, I know. I'm adding that on.
Apparently, Steven Root went to the University of Florida, which would be an interesting one. I like Steven
Root. It's definitely going to be a country band we don't know.
I know, but I mean, Steven Root would be an interesting one. Nominated for an Emmy this year.
You've sold yourself on Steven Root.
Yeah, I mean,
buying all the stock you can get.
How about, like, Joakim Noah?
Honestly, if they went basketball, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Go Al Horford. Okay. Into the superlatives we go. Best freshman you saw this week?
How about Danny Werfel? I went to the Oklahoma game, Rob.
You were there?
I was there. I was there in Norman. He got my eyes on a true frosh named Jaden Hazel.
He's also one of the guys I listed.
Wow, we did it this week. Not a eye-popping statistical game, but like, looked good with the
ball. Yeah, his body control, his size. He was a five-star. Was he their number one freshman? Like, recruit?
I believe so.
Yeah, he just...
I'm pretty sure.
He looks like a guy who's going to step in as a starter next year and just put up numbers.
Yeah, looked good with the ball in his hands, too. Yeah, 6 catches, 59 yards. Well-built, good size. Very interesting guy.
We'll see. Oklahoma's quickly going to become wide receiver U if Lincoln Riley sticks around. He just knows how to scheme people open. The top guy I put down was Washington safety Cameron Williams.
Interesting.
2 picks against USC. Looked quite good in coverage.
That whole secondary had a pretty good game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I trust Jimmy Lake to develop DBs, mm-hmm. obviously. And Williams, a former high school QB, and Washington recruited him to play safety. And he's doing a great job and built well, a little lean right now, but I think he's like 6'1", 190-ish. And his ball skills look great, and his range was nice, so... and I'd be remiss not to mention my son, Sam Howell.
He was good,
He kept them in it against Clemson. Almost won the game, but Longo doesn't know how to call a two-point play.
What a terrible play. Yeah.
All right. Best sophomore you saw?
Because I sat through this entire game, I got to mention at least one guy from it. I mentioned two, but Sean Clifford, Penn State, baby.
What do you mean you sat through the whole game? You enjoyed it. Every second of it, both did. It was
so enjoyable. Clifford looked pretty good. I mean, Maryland is an enigma. I mean, like, they either look really good or extremely bad.
Or Syracuse is just really bad.
I think they are bad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we know Howard's good.
So true. Good point.
Yeah. Clifford had a pretty good game. Does he run a 4-4-2 now, Rob? That's the rumor. I hated that so much. Anyways, good completion percentage, 26-31. Almost 400 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, a pick. But looked good running the ball, too. 54 yards on the ground, had a rushing TD. I mean, definitely more dynamic than Trace McSorley. I'll say it, Rob.
More dynamic. I don't know about like in terms of running, but definitely a far better passer.
Passer. That's what yeah, you know what I mean. Just can do more because not the same runner, but can do it and much better.
Yeah, arm, I put Clifford down as well because we're the only two people who watch every snap of the Maryland Penn State game probably. Yeah, that's terrible. But I'll stick in the Big Ten at QB. Justin Fields again. Mm-hmm. He looked great against Nebraska, which I mean. Probably the most talented team they've played. Not a good team, but
no.
He threw some wonderful ball placement balls. The one touchdown to freshman Garrett Wilson was a wonderful throw to the corner. He is like he's not gonna be a top three Heisman guy, but certainly top five right now.
Mm-hmm. And will be one of the favorites for like the next.
He looks better than Trevor Lawrence. I'll say it. Like I think there's a scenario where we end up with Justin Fields. Going into the next season for the 2021 draft, looking at him as the QB1 over Trevor Lawrence. Because, I mean, Lawrence has not made any improvements, and I mean, there's a lot of questions around that right now. I know it's still early in the season, but he's been quite disappointing each week in terms of overall
game. He hasn't had that game where he's taken it over.
Yeah, he's inconsistent from, like, snap to snap. Whereas Fields, again... Low opponents, they're going to start playing better teams soon. But just his athleticism and arm talent, he looks incredible. And I'm very excited for him. Hey, as a loyal Elite 11 follower, Justin Fields did beat Trevor Lawrence.
He did. So. Two quick points. With Lawrence, it feels like his receiver's been making him look better, too.
Yeah, T. Higgins and Justin Ross are two of the best contested catch guys in the country.
Exactly. And going back to Ohio State quick, like it was kind of weird that everyone slapped on them before the season.
I mean, I didn't, but. They were my number one preseason team.
I don't know. It just felt weird because, like, it's almost like everyone forgot about Fields.
You know what I think it was? Really. It was because Ohio State didn't name Fields the starter until, like, right before the season. Yeah. Remember, there was that rumor just before the season, too, that the. The other transfer, I can't even think of his name.
He's relevant now.
Yeah, he was like a Kentucky transfer or something. Was going to beat Fields out. And it reminded me a lot of Oklahoma with Kyler Murray last year. Kyler Murray wasn't named the starter over Austin Kendall until right before the season. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think that's just... That's because they don't want... Like, I think coaches purposely do that.
It makes sense.
Yeah, like, right? Why would they bother naming a starter before they have to? And then the media just kind of runs with it, like, oh, Justin Fields isn't named the starter by August 20th, then maybe he's not that good. And it's like, no, he transferred out of Georgia because they were never going to go away from Jake Fromm. You saw the same thing with Jacob Eason. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Ohio State right now, I think, is firmly in the top four.
Yeah, I
agree. Okay, Weekday Warrior.
Going back to the same game, baby, because it was on a Friday night. Quick shout out to the Penn State student section who won the Lip Moss student section of the week from Taco Bell on the road, Rob. Impressive.
Anyways, wait. So can we just jump in real quick that Maryland canceled classes for the day for this game, got all their fans to wear black, and then lost 59-0? Like, what is going on in Maryland?
Okay, I will shamefully admit that I had the game muted. But what was up with like the Penn State fans that they just like walked down the aisle at one point and they just
that was back. Weird. It was super weird. I don't know what was going on.
I don't know either. I feel like I need an explanation. But anyways, KJ Hamler looked really good in this game. That touchdown was so impressive. Just the afterburners, a little stutter step, the high step, blew away from Maryland. 6 catches, 100 yards, 1 TD in the game. Gaia wasn't the highest on in the summer, honestly. And Rob, you identify these guys because the NFL always likes guys that look like him. But
yeah, he's in that Brandon Cooks mold. The yak ability, yeah. The route running, the explosiveness.
Speed.
Yeah, no, that's... On that play, too, he looked a little like Brandon Cooks. I'm going to compare, like, seven... Fair like, enough. J.D. Spielman's also Brandon Cooks.
Jalen Rager's
also Brandon Cooks. But Hamler looked incredible on that touchdown.
He did. It was nice.
I'll throw another guy out there, too, from the later game. Evan Weaver against Arizona State. I know Cal lost, but, man, that guy makes every freaking tackle. It's incredible.
You'll hear me mention Weaver twice.
Well, hey, I kind of pounded the table a bit for him before the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's the conference's Ben Burkervin this year in terms of he's putting up insane tackle numbers, making every tackle.
And like even when he's not, he's right there. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Getting tackled.
Always around the ball. He shit talks with the best of them. That was a weird game, though, that Cal Arizona State game.
It was a weird game. I didn't really enjoy it. It was a close game. And it was fun at the end, but it wasn't really enjoyable.
Okay, best prospect you saw this week? It's always going to be the same people, basically. But
you know what? I changed it up for the sake of doing it. I want Jeff Okuda this year.
I put him on here, too.
Yeah, like, I mean, Tua was outstanding again, looked amazing, and Chase Young was good. But like,
I feel like every week we're going to end up mentioning Chase Young and Tua, so I put them both down, but then I put two more guys, and Okuda is one of them.
Exactly. Two picks, just looked absolutely fantastic.
Pick one off while lying on the ground.
Lying on his ass. That's ball skills, Rob. That's ball skills. Yeah. The other pick was even more impressive. Just a hell of a game, and I think he's obviously put himself in that top 15.
I would agree with that. Definitely has a chance to be the number one corner in the class. Mm-hmm. He's got all the athletic tools, and seeing the ball skills and kind of seeing him put all of it together this season so far. Again, they haven't played anyone extremely talented, but it's like Ohio State just keeps putting out these freaky athletic corners with just incredible movement skills. Marshawn Lattimore, Denzel Ward, now Jeff Okuda, and Sean Wade also on their defense. Interesting. Just while we're talking Okuda, I'll jump over to Chase Young real quick. It's every week. If you attempt to block him one-on-one, he's coming away with that minimum of pressure.
I put Young as my backup prospect who played the box score. So it was only three tackles and one sack, but like you said, it was like he was involved in every single play. He was being his guy every single snap.
That's my favorite thing right now about Chase Young is like we knew he had all these tools and he was going to tear apart competition as a pass rusher and run defender, but seeing him in these minuscule games still going 100 miles an hour with that motor.
And getting double teamed a lot and still doing it.
And we're starting to see like comps thrown out for him. Some of them are wild. Some of them are more fitting. I'm having a hard time finding the right comp for him. He's going to be the number one player in the draft. Not pick, but number one player. And then, like you said, Tua, seven total touchdowns against Ole Miss. They not playing anyone super talented, but...
Hey, slow start, but yeah, they pummeled.
I also put C.D. Lamb, though, the Oklahoma receiver. I feel like partially because he's seeing so much attention when teams play Oklahoma, and their offense gets so many people involved, his stats weren't up there with the Alabama receivers and some of the other guys. But this was kind of like his huge game against Texas Tech. 185 yards, three touchdowns, making incredible plays after the catch.
Yeah.
His body control and then his contact balance after the catch. I love CeeDee Lamb. He's one of my favorite prospects. Like, he is firmly in my top 10.
I was going to mention him for the next category, but I was debating between best prospect and the next category as my backup because it was like his don't forget about me game almost. Yes. Like, he's lost a lot of the spotlight, I feel, with the wide receiver class, especially with the BAM receivers, like you said. But I mean, a hell of a game, and like he felt like he was wide open every single play.
Yeah, definitely. And he is to me a very, very complete receiver. I know there are some athleticism questions with him, but he is a fabulous route runner, and then just the contested catch ability because of the body control.
When you have like a complete game at wide receiver, you don't need to run the 4.4s, 4.3s.
I agree. Right? You can't be molasses out there, but it's not like DeAndre Hopkins ran a 4.4.
Exactly. Like, if Lamb runs a 4.55, I'm fine with it, I think.
Me too. Because of... Yeah. Like, if you're a bad route runner and you're slow, Colin Johnson, then it's going to be a problem. But yeah, if you're an excellent route runner and you can create separation that way, he also isn't the lacking athlete I think some people framed him as earlier.
I don't think so either.
Like, I don't think he's going to be running a dangerously slow 40.
I don't think so either. And so well built and plays his ass off every snap.
Yeah, he's the best blocker in the country at receiver.
In the country. Yeah.
Anyways, okay, yeah. Who's shooting up the board for you? I get a handful of names.
There's the obvious one that everyone knows, Devonta Smith, the cat up.
Well, it's crazy that, like, I think 2 weeks ago we had, like, Devonta Smith had a massive game. We're like, yeah, this is the, he's shooting up, he's Bama's other receiver, all this jazz, and then it's like, just goes for 274 and 5 touchdowns against Ole Miss.
A game for the ages.
Like, he's going to go day two. I know he wasn't getting talked about a ton, but there were some people giving him top 100 love before the season for sure. Mm-hmm. And now it's like when he is showcased and like Ruggs was banged up in this game, and you just see they say he has the best hands on the team, and it certainly looked like it. He made some plays after the catch. He can stretch the field.
It looks so easy for him after the catch too, which caught my eye.
A comp I like that I saw, Brad Kelly compared him to Deion Branch.
That's so interesting.
I liked it a lot. Brad Kelly's
I love Deion Branch receivers
too. So,
I have a Deion Branch jersey hanging in my closet.
I love Deion Branch.
Bad trade for the Seahawks, but
Devonta Smith. I think all three like Lamb and or Lamb, Judy and Ruggs are going to be top 15 picks locked. And I don't know if Devonta Smith's going to get into the second round when it's all said and done.
Waiting for the Waddle breakout game.
This receiver class is insane. Anybody else you got for shooting up the board?
Yeah, it wouldn't be an episode of Seven Rounds in Heaven if we didn't mention a Surratt brother.
Hell yeah. I got him for something
else. Chaz looked great.
He wasn't
playing
major snaps really until this week.
Yeah, I know. And he looked like probably the best player on that UNC defense.
They were missing some starters. There's some players on the defense now once they're all healthy, too. I like this. Mm-hmm. Like, this North Carolina team should be bowl eligible.
They look kind of
I don't know what Fedora was doing.
Nothing was what he was doing. 7 total tackles, had a sack, just felt involved in a lot of
plays
and
coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
He looks like former quarterback, the Joel Lanning of the season, if you will.
I will.
But he looks like a super athletic dude who just being able to make that switch. I mean, 6'3", 230.
Exactly. I was gonna say he's really well built too.
When you look at his brother Sage Surratt, the Wake Forest receiver, it's like his overall size, athleticism, and just his body. He's body beautiful. Chaz Surratt's the same way.
Yeah,
I'm glad he's not playing
quarterback
anymore, because he is much more interesting as a future NFL player in this spot.
Agreed. Who do you got?
I put Canadian Pride of Canada, Oklahoma nose tackle Neville Gallimore.
He dominated that game.
He could also go down for a play the box score, actually. Three tackles, but a ton of hurries, and just clogging up the middle. He looks more explosive this year, and he is a freak when it comes to athleticism. And just his handwork looks faster and stronger this year. Neville Gallimore, this defensive tackle class is really starting to come together, I think. And he's a guy who's looking like a day two dude.
Quick off topic, but you know how much I love Canadian prospects. It's exciting to have Gallimore
and
Chua.
And
Claypool. And like Bama's got like a 4-star Canadian receiver. Like, that's awesome. I'm excited. Nathan Rourke's going to be a top 3 pick, and he's Canadian.
Clemson has a Canadian receiver, too, I believe.
Yeah, I forgot. What's his name?
Do you have anyone else shooting up the board?
No, those are my picks.
Yeah, I obviously threw Jalen Hurts down again. Threw for 415, ran for 74 total touchdowns. He's starting to look like a legitimate at least day 2 pick.
Hurts, it's going to be so interesting.
I mean, there are people talking about 7 quarterbacks going in the first round if they all declare.
That's nuts. Yeah.
Which I feel like...
Doesn't it always feel like at this time that...
Yes, and I feel like maybe they won't all... Like, we thought Justin Herbert was for sure declaring last year at this time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we can't be sure. Like, I could see a scenario where a Jordan Love goes back. I think Jake Fromm will go back, to be honest. He seems like the type of guy who would if they don't win at all. Like,
if they don't win... Yeah, exactly.
He cares so much about that Georgia program. But yeah, Hurts is I'm starting to feel more and more confident that he has a first round pick. I mean, I haven't gone and grinded down the tape. Like, I don't have a first round grade on him or anything right now, but he looks so much better as a passer this year. And just his ability as an actual, like, a runner, the way he runs is so different from Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray kind of felt like he ran out of necessity or play call. But, like, Jalen Hurts is a legitimate running back with the ball in his hands.
He is. I mean, we've always said that since his freshman year at Bama. But, and then even, like, in the summer when we threw on Hurts' tape, and we're like, we didn't give him enough credit as a passer. Especially in his last year at Bama. And then this year it's looked a lot better.
Like, the footwork, the mechanics, just the overall ball placement. It helps that system for sure, but I would love to see Jalen Hurts at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, because even at Bama, though, he was missing easy
throws. Yeah, his first 2 years at Bama, he was...
It was just...
But you're right, though. In the time we did see him as a junior at Bama, you could tell he had improved. He didn't really get to showcase it nearly as much because he was not playing.
Exactly.
Two more guys, two receivers. One is my boy, Joe Reed from Virginia. He was giving it to Notre Dame early. He looked great after the catch, which isn't surprising, but I thought he looked improved as a route runner. He's also one of the best kick returners in the country. There is a spot in the NFL for a guy like Joe Reed, especially in today's NFL, where he plays running back at times, too. I think he's a Cordarrelle Patterson type.
He's good.
And then the receiver who I think is going to shoot up the board, and he's starting to really build some hype, Isaiah Hodgins from Oregon State. Went for 10 catches, 162, and a touchdown against Stanford. He's a guy whose tape I really like. He's built well. He's got height, but he's also a fabulous route runner.
He's so interesting. I mean, the class is so deep, as we mentioned so many times, but...
Yeah, like 6'3", 6'4", 200. The route running is what I keep coming back to with him. I don't know that he's a great athlete, but he can work himself open all day long. I need to see more of him too. Like I've only really sat down and watched the Oklahoma State game with him, but I think we're both gonna be huge fans of him. Sliding down the board.
I don't know if this is a controversial. It wouldn't be controversial, but had a good statistical game, but just didn't like what I saw overall. Bryce Perkins at UVA.
You know what with him? I think he started hot and then he just kind of crashed.
Yeah, just from what I saw in that Notre Dame, like he was 30 of 43, 334, two touchdowns.
I would say that's a little bit misleading of a box score. Like the first half, I thought I was like kind of like I didn't have any ill feelings towards him, but the second half, I thought he was kind of a mess.
He had two picks, three fumbles.
He kept like,
just
getting
didn't feel the. Exactly. Just didn't feel the pass rush at all. And it's funny that we were kind of I think my slide down was a core last week and he had like three sacks in this game. So it just didn't feel the pass rush. And like Perkins looked like I think we both thought in the summer, like he just looked like a guy that could come and be a long-term backup in the NFL. I know it's not like we had a monster grade or anything, but like.
Like day three though. I'm like, yeah, we liked a lot of, like I was so pleasantly surprised with him in the summer.
And like just you know what things you want out of the back, like look what Chase Daniel this week, you know, he just looked composed and did his job. And like
I always Perkins, like a little bit of mobility in your backup too.
Exactly. Young Chase can move anyways. And it just he just looked like a mess, like you said.
I'll stick with the quarterback here. Utah State's Jordan Love did not look very good against Colorado State. Like he is just all the physical tools are there, and then he throws bad interceptions. If you can develop him, I think he can be a franchise quarterback. And, I mean, like guys like Dane Brugler, I think, has him as a top 10 prospect right now. I'm not there with him, but, like, I see all the tools. It's just he is very raw, and the same issues that were there last year are there this year. He's a guy – this week they play LSU. This is going to be a huge – game for, like, obviously people around the country, fans being like, oh, I want him as our franchise QB, but also for, like, this is the most important game of his career in terms of NFL draft prospectness.
Absolutely. I mean, just the biggest one, I guess, too.
And he looked good against Michigan State last year, so I'm very excited. Yeah. Like, that's going to be one of the – I know it's like a nothing game in terms of matter, but it's not a great noon slate of games, so that will definitely be on one of my screens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I also put Travis Etienne. I thought against North Carolina he didn't really create a ton for himself. He had a fumble.
No.
And he looked poor in pass protection.
No, that's fair. Michael Carter looked better,
my
baby.
Boy, hey, that's my number one guy. I threw down Michael Pittman against Washington. I know he had the big 44-yard touchdown, but other than that, I thought he struggled to separate.
Pittman's so up and down, it feels
like. He is. In a receiver class like this, it's like I don't see a guy like him being a day two dude.
No, I
this
I
is
agree.
To me, like I Isaiah Hodgins, just coming back to him, he's a guy who... like could be a top 10 wide receiver in this class, but then there's so many guys like that where there's like even like Aaron Fuller, or I just watched Jarrell Stewart, the Michigan State receiver, and I really like him, and there's just so many guys like that. And again, it's going to depend who declares and who doesn't, but it is an insane class, both in terms of top heavy and depth.
For my out of nowhere prospect, I'm mentioning another wide receiver.
I bet I have him too.
Dubois?
Oh no, okay.
I liked what I saw from Dubois, yeah.
Reed and Dubois both looked really strong. And in different ways, I thought Dubois body control.
Exactly, yeah.
He made a handful. I think the touchdown, was it his touchdown? And he made a great sideline grab.
Yep.
He was interesting. I didn't really know who he was at all.
Me neither. 6'2", 215, so that's a good – probably a little smaller, but well-built. Reed had a big game, but Dubois is statistically better. 9 for 143 and a TD. And the TD was a very nice grab. Like you said, the body control, some contested catch, the sideline stuff. It looked a little interesting, Rob.
A little interesting.
It was a little bit interesting.
What is he?
Junior.
Okay. I was hoping he wasn't a senior. I put down Oklahoma receiver Charleston Rambo.
Okay,
redshirt sophomore. When you catch just two passes, maybe you're not that impressed. But when it's for 122 yards, somehow no touchdowns. But he kind of like took on the. So far this year, in multiple games, he feels like he's the Hollywood Brown for them. Obviously, not to the same effect, but just the pure deep speed, really lean field stretcher. I don't think he's going to come out or anything, but he's definitely got to pay attention to going forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you're interested, the Nationals advanced to NLDS with a 3-run 8th inning.
Oh, they came back. Good for
And then I put Chaz Surratt down here as well. And then a guy who I wrote his name down, I think last year when I was watching Bryce Hall tape, Virginia safety Joey Blount. This dude's just always around the ball. He had a fumble recovery on a muff punt. He broke up a pass. I just well built in Virginia, just turning out DBs.
There's a lot. I mean, we haven't mentioned Snowden this year, but like, he's still so interesting. Yeah, like there's a lot of interesting.
Bronco Mendenhall has done one heck of a job with developing talent.
It's gonna be a great coach at Michigan.
Like, just the fact that I don't know, 5 years ago, it was like Virginia was a hellhole under Mike London.
Nothing there.
And, like, even they landed a couple. Like, remember when they got Quinn Blanding and Andrew Brown? And they're both, like, 5 stars. And, like, Blanding went undrafted, and Andrew Brown might have also been undrafted. I can't remember. He had a good Senior Bowl, though. But now it's just, like, receivers. They've got a quarterback. They have multiple defensive players. Specifically, the defense is where they're training at the talent. But he's just done an incredible job there. I really like Bronco Mendenhall. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be... good image.
But they'll never beat Ohio State, so it's okay. Prospect, who made you look stupid?
Hey, we already mentioned him. I'm going to Evan Weaver because I was really, really low on him in the summer. I just didn't think the athleticism was there to be like a dude in the NFL. But he's just always around the football, man. At 15 total tackles this week. What do you have, like 18 last week? Like
20? Was it 22 the week before? Been really good.
Yeah, I know. He's just been good, and he's making me look dumb.
Maybe my Blake Martinez comp wasn't even good enough at the time. you mentioned him, actually. already. Julian Okwara here. I did not have him as a top 10 edge. I saw the tools and, like, I saw the vision of having him there, but I didn't think he put it all together. And then the last, prior to this week, he didn't look very good. And then he exploded against Virginia. Three sacks, he had a strip sack, a couple of hurries. Yeah. He's a guy who I think is going to test really well. It's just, like, the raw potential upside is what you're betting on with him. And obviously, system's going to matter. He's not the heavy, like, he's, like, 240, but just, this edge class is very, very interesting. There's so many different types of guys.
Kareem had a good game for them, too.
Yeah, Kareem, their contrasting style is fun because Kareem's more of a power guy, like a lock it down against the run type. Not going to be a flashy dude, but just going to be a good football player in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
I can't wait to like really dive in as the season goes on some of these teams or prospects. Best prospect versus prospect matchup.
I'm mentioning Evan Weaver again, and this was just the most fun one for me. It was him versus Eno Benjamin. Benjamin just had so much, like, it was just so much fun to watch. He was like, he hit 29 carries, 100 yards, 3 touchdowns. And again, Weaver was involved in every single play. Benjamin, you think his best game of the season so far?
I put him down for prospect who outplayed the box score because I know he didn't average that many per carry, but their offensive line is god awful. And he was doing the most he could with his carries. And I was loving what I saw from him. And when I went and I looked at the stats, I was like, he played so much better than these numbers show. I know he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's like 5'9", 200, but he runs so tough. And I love his contact balance and the quickness. And he's got great patience. I very much enjoy Eno Benjamin. And then, versus Evan Weaver, that was a fun as hell matchup.
It was.
It was like the main reason I keep watching that game.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, I put the Ohio State offensive line versus Nebraska D-line. I thought, like, Nebraska's got some boys on the D-line. The Daniels the twins. Davis twins. Or Davis twins, and then Darion Daniels, Ben Stilley. But the Ohio State offensive line had his best game of the year, and they were just, like, Munford was stepped up big, and they were kind of moving those guys around. Khalil Davis had, a sack at one point, but other than that, it was Ohio State all day. But that was a fun matchup. I also put the USC receivers versus the Washington DBs. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good one.
Washington DBs, big win for them.
And then Isaiah Hodgins versus Paulson Adebo.
Yeah, that's a good one. I kind of almost forgot he's going up against Adebo. Like, that's impressive that Hodgins is doing it with nothing else on that offense.
Jake Luton, baby.
Yeah, Ryan Nall's gone, man.
Yeah, Adebo's been a little bit up and down. I think I like Adebo a lot, but he does kind of struggle against the guys who against cleaner route runners. I mean, when that big Gabriel Davis touch on against UCF, like that type of stuff, he'll bite on stuff. Like, he's a give and take type of corner at times. Okay, prospect to play the box score. I already mentioned Eno Benjamin.
I went with Zach Bond from Whiskey Baby.
Hey, I mentioned him last week. He's playing good football.
Yeah, only had 2 tackles and 5 assist tackles, but felt involved in like most plays, getting to the backfield.
He's a nonstop motor dude.
Yeah, exactly. And just a classic Big Ten grinded out, run the football, Joe Gaziano type of game. So it was an ugly football game, but Bond really showed up in that one.
I put Marvin Wilson down as well, and I know I've put him here before. His stats never match how much damage he is doing on the field. Mm-hmm. He's a freak. I think he's going to end up in the first round. I don't know. It's just, he's been the most consistently impressive interior defensive lineman this season. Like, I've been, Derek Brown, I mean, he had a huge game against Texas A&M, but Marvin Wilson's just consistent each week. And the athletic upside, and I think he was like the number one recruit in the country or something a couple years ago.
Just because I couldn't find a slot for him, I'll throw him in now because we're talking about ideals. Metabuki, I can still not say his name. Had a really good game against Arkansas.
He even killed Nick Starkle.
Yeah, he had a pick too.
Yeah, he looked really. Yeah, he's a pure, like, raw, talented upside you have to develop.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the flashes with him are big. Prospect who's being overhyped?
You mentioned his name already, but according to Tony Pauline, Jordan Love is going to be the first quarterback in the draft.
Tony Pauline.
I know. I can't. I would say Pauline. I don't know why. Pauline, your coworker, right?
So. I guess.
Yeah. I'm still very firmly on the Love train, as I'll call it.
Yes, me too. I mean, I think we're both fans of the potential there, but to think he could, that he, like, the Dolphins are tanking their season and going to take him
for
over.
Jordan Love.
Yeah, like, it just doesn't
exactly
seem possible. Like, I fully believe Jordan Love could be a top 10 pick and definitely a first round pick. But, I mean, just, he doesn't, to me, he doesn't have the same physical tools of Justin Herbert right now. And Herbert's more polished. And, like, and then
I wonder if, like, other guys emerging in this class is going to hurt Jordan Love's stock, too.
Yeah, like, I think
Burrow and Hurts.
Yeah, Burrow, Hurts, Eason.
Eason.
Like, Fromm's played bigger games, so there's going to have been more eyes on Fromm. Yeah, like, I would say Jordan Love's been somewhat disappointing. Just he hasn't...
This week is huge.
Yeah, like, he hasn't taken that big step that I was hoping for.
Exactly.
But, like, I haven't sat... Like, he just looks more like last year's version still.
This game against LSU is monster for his draft.
I'm so excited. And seeing him and Joe Burrow at the same time, I know it's not the same, but, like, you just say it's got some defensive players. Tipa, my boy, and DJ Williams at corner... David Woodward at linebacker, that's three future NFL players.
There's reasons to tune into that game at noon.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth watching. It's like when I watched LSU play Vandy at noon. That was fun. I put down T. Higgins here.
Interesting. He got a lot of love this week.
6 for 129, a touchdown against North Carolina.
Yeah.
My thing with T. Higgins is, like, I know he can win these contested catch situations. But he's not really... He doesn't, like, consistently create separation. He's not a great route runner. He's a big body with great hands and, I think, again, great contested catch ability. I just don't know, like, to put him on the same level as the Ruggses, the Judys, the Lambs. I don't see that. Like, I think he is not a top five receiver in this class. Whereas, like, I'll see people put him in the top 10 of the first round. I even saw on Twitter someone say he's like Mike Evans. He's not like Mike Evans. I don't even dislike T. Higgins. I just don't, like, he's like my sixth or seventh receiver, I think. I see him more as a Kenny Golladay type, a high-end wide receiver too in the NFL.
Fair enough. I don't even disagree with that, man. Like you said, he's a contested catch, good hands. Like
I think Justin Ross is definitely better than him.
Yeah, Ross, like, he's flashed the bigger play potential.
Justin Ross is closer to Mike Evans than T. Higgins is.
Right now, yeah.
Or are you implying that Higgins could become Mike Evans?
No, I'm implying that, like, it's early for Ross, but yeah.
But, like, Ross, I think, is quite clearly the better wide receiver at Clemson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I don't even dislike T. Higgins. I mean, we're going to hear all kinds of crazy takes as we go forward. I mean, I think we've seen Jake Fromm get compared to Drew Brees multiple times, so...
Of course.
So it is what it is. Anyway, what about the small school guys? The guys who aren't getting enough hype. Who caught your eye in the small schools this week?
Okay, I'm cheating. It's a Power 5 school, but it's the worst one.
Rutgers?
So I think Rutgers.
Oh, actually, okay. I'll give it to you then.
Exactly. Rasheem Blackshear, Rob. Looked a little interesting, as our catchphrase goes. The only player that could do anything against Michigan, like, on the ground, he didn't do much. 6 carries for 11 yards. Like, it's not a good statistical game. But caught 7 balls for 55 yards and, like, broke some tackles, looked a little explosive.
I think that was in the summer. It was like, I didn't love him or neither of us loved him particularly as a runner, but you can always potentially find a role for a guy with athleticism who can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Like, this is like a UDFA.
Yeah, I don't.
Got your eye on it.
I've seen his tape.
Exactly. But I like that when a guy is the only bright spot on an offense.
Did you only bring him up as your small school guy so we could talk about the new head coach at Rutgers?
Yeah, of course.
What's his name? Like, Dante...
Skornacki, yeah, that's his name.
Something like that. Some Italian name.
Hold on. I'll pull out. I already forgot. Calzone? It's so Italian. Like, it's...
Dante Calzone.
It's stupidly Italian. Sorry?
Dante Calzone.
Yeah, that's offensive, Rob. Yeah, that's why I... Who's your guy?
I put four. I'll, okay, two of them are just... I'm kind of, like, playing to you. Xavier Jones and James Proch from SMU.
Yeah, man. They keep both... I mean, we're both in on Proch in the summer, obviously. So we know what Proch's been doing it for years, okay? But Xavier Jones just keeps looking impressive.
Yeah, both of them look great against USF. Also, Alex Highsmith showed up, the Charlotte edge rusher. He'd been getting a lot of hype kind of this week, and then their game happened to be on NFL Network against FAU. So I saw some of him. He looked pretty good. He's well-built and athletic for a smaller school guy. He's going to be at the Senior Bowl, and like I think that's where his buzz will really start to come. But Dane Brugler's been pounding the table for Highsmith. And then Cole McDonald. Hawaii played Nevada in like a bad weather game in Nevada with the time change.
That's sick.
He threw for four touchdowns, had his best game of the year, and looked like... It's like all of us want Cole McDonald to be good so badly because we see these flashes. It's like the size, the athleticism, the arm talent, it's all there. He just needs to not turn the ball over. And when he doesn't, it's pretty like this against Nevada.
It's going to be interesting just to see like what happens with Cole
McDonald. I don't think he'll come out. I would, but then again, I didn't think Tyree Jackson was going to. I thought he was going to grad transfer. And then he thought about it, and then he came out when I drafted. I hope Cole McDonald... I kind of hope he grad transfers to a Power 5.
I mean, I hope so, too. It'd be a lot of fun.
But then again, Riley Neal not doing a great job at Vandy after doing that, so...
Okay, you ready? Nunzio Campanelli.
That's such a good record. Like, they should just make him... Like, who cares who's the head coach? Like, you're going to suck anyway. Make him the head coach forever.
It's so jokes, because, like... Like so Italian. Like, he's from Jersey. He coached at Don Bosco for 9 years, and then a Catholic school for 7 years, and then he's only been at Rutgers for like a season. It's
and he's like the tight ends coach, right?
Yeah, he was. He was. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's hilarious. I'm all in on him though. If anyone's turning this program around, it's him.
Just get all the good Italian kids from Rutgers and go build a gritty team.
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, they're probably just going to end up hiring Greg Schiano.
Probably.
You know what else, though, AJ? Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Want to increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed? Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. You can take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach or empty. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps you follow through. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in discreet packages, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code ARMCHAIR to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
All right, you ready for the question?
Sure.
How many times have you talked a big game but not followed through, Rob? I don't mean ED, but I just mean in general.
I feel like I've never talked a big game.
I've seen you not follow through multiple times.
Well, thank you.
That's why I'm asking the question.
Before we get to our week six matchups, do the smart thing this weekend. Bet on football and bet with my bookie. And if you want to hedge your bets after kickoff and you're losing and bet the other side to make money anyway, hedge your bets. You can do that at my bookie. You can also parlay a bunch of stuff, pay a little, win a lot. It's the smart way to constantly brag about your parlays. That's if you're a parlay guy, you got to talk about them. So, join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Wow. I was really thrown off by your question there and I struggled through that ad. Anyway, week 6 matchups. How'd you do last week?
I had my worst week of the season. I went 4-6. I think it was a lot of like those the big favorites that just didn't pull through.
I went 6-4.
I don't know where we differed. I think you're lying this week.
I lie every week. I would kill to be 500. You know me. I'm 22-18 overall though.
I'm 24-16. You're catching up to me.
Don't worry. I'm definitely gonna go 500 this week. Okay, starting with the noon games, the noon ABC game, number 6, Oklahoma, 35.5-point favorites in Lawrence playing Kansas.
Some teams don't cover these big spreads. Oklahoma does.
Yeah, I'm also going to take Oklahoma. I mean, Kansas sucks, but they're better, kind of. Kansas has some prospects. I like their left tackle, Hakeem Adeniyi, a lot. Mm-hmm. And they got some, like, Puka Williams at running back. I'm interested to see how their corner Hassan Defense plays because I think he's a legit NFL talent. But anyway, point being, Jalen Hurts can probably throw for even more yards this week and just destroy Kansas. Yeah. This game isn't... It's a bad week for noon games.
Yeah, why is this on ABC?
I think kind of the track... There's not a lot of good options, and it's like, if we can't get a good option, let's get an exciting... That's why we're like, it's always Oklahoma, Ohio State playing bad teams. It's like... Yeah. They're going to tune in because there's good football players playing, at least.
At least when it's Texas Tech, we get Jet Duffy. Like,
yeah, good point. You're not a fan of Carter Stanley?
No, I'm a big... You know I've been a big Jet Duffy fan for a long time.
Okay, 12 ESPN, Purdue at number 12 Penn State. Penn State, 26-point favorites.
Look, we saw what they did to Maryland. I'm not buying it fully, Rob. I'm taking Purdue plus the points.
Okay, Purdue's without Elijah Sindelar and Rondale Moore, but okay.
I don't know.
And Marcus Bailey. Penn State.
I know.
I'm going to take Penn State. They destroyed Maryland in Maryland. Purdue, like I said, all banged up. Penn State's defense is looking very strong. I really like Michael Parsons, even though he's immediately ejected against Maryland.
Yeah, he was.
And then, yeah, Clifford looks like he's starting to really put it together. I know they can't run the ball, but just get the ball in KJ Hamler's hands, and I like their tight ends.
Gross Mados had a better game.
I definitely agree. Still not, like, dominating to the point he should be in this nearly the same breaths of Chase Young and AJ Epenesa, though.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Okay, 12. And Fox, number 14, Iowa, at number 19, Michigan, a game that's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, Michigan's minus 4.5. I'm picking the Hawkeyes.
I am also taking the Hawkeyes. This is a good... I mean, Michigan's offensive line has looked pretty awful this year. AJ Epenesa, yeah. This is kind of his first... A lot of people are going to be watching game to kind of like blow it up, and I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah.
Other side of the ball, like, I feel a low scoring game. I don't love Nate Stanley. The Michigan defense is a good bounce back game, I think.
If Stanley can cook the Michigan D, it'd be big for him.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I don't think he will, though. Like, I see this playing out as a, like, I think Iowa's gonna win this game, but I think it'll be like a 13-10 slugfest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you don't think I was going to win this game, it's hard to feel Fort Michigan's going to win by 4.5 points. You know my theory, Rob. I'm just going to pick Iowa for the reverse jinx, and when they eventually win, I'm like, at least I can be a little happy that I picked them.
But I will. Iowa, because of their trench play. Okay, the big game, 3:30, CBS, Gary Danielson. You know what I'll be doing 12 hours before. Number 7, Auburn, at number 10, Florida. Auburn 3-point favorites in Gainesville.
Yeah, it doesn't scare me. I'm taking the Tigers. I still don't believe in this Florida Gator team. Auburn, like, I'm not a huge Auburn fan, sounds, but like they looked. I'm go Tigers. War Eagle. They kicked ass last week. I watched that game for some reason. I don't know why. My stream just went to it, and it's huge. Too busy. Like,
guess go Tigers.
Yeah, there's no other great games on at the time. Oh, fuck it, leave it on. go Tigers. They're gonna roll into Gainesville and drain the swamp. I shouldn't have said that.
Okay, I'm taking Florida.
Are you really? Okay.
I think Kyle Trask might be better than Felipe Franks.
That's fair. That's
as
fair.
A passer. Yeah. And I think they can kind of count on his at least consistency. Like, he might... The big plays aren't necessarily going to be always there with Trask, but like he's safer with the football and a more confident decision maker.
Bo Nix is a wild ride. Like,
I'm very much still afraid of Bo Nix. And then the Florida defense, I just really like. I love Zuniga and Greenard on the edges. Mm-hmm. Ventrell Miller and David Reese at linebacker. And the secondary, I know it's been inconsistent, especially CJ Henderson, who's supposed to be the dude. But there's so much talent in that. And I just think home field advantage, Gainesville. I don't think either of these teams are that great for top 10 teams, but I think Auburn's luck's going to come to an end in Gainesville.
Fair enough. Okay.
3:30 ABC, number 11 Texas, going to Morgantown, taking on West Virginia. The game was great last year with Will Grier. Will Grier is gone. Who you got?
I'm taking Texas. West Virginia's been really bad this year.
I'm kind of excited. Like, I have not seen West Virginia play live. I'm excited to get my eyes on Austin Kendall and see him. Really, was it a close QB battle with him and Kyler Murray last year? Was it really?
No, it wasn't.
And, there's just not a whole lot. I think it's going to be they're a bowl team. But I think it's going to be kind of a slow build for Neil Brown to kind of put this program together.
West Virginia struggled with JMU, but who's not going to? Got pummeled by Mizzou, beat NC State pretty well, and then struggled with Kansas.
I think a big down year for NC State, though, just after watching that Florida State game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Milan Pusker is going to be bumping, but...
I think it's a slow rebuild. Texas takes it easy. ESPN really did not luck out with their... primetime game picks this year, or their national televised picks, game picks. 3:30 ESPN, Virginia Tech at Miami.
Hold on, quick interjection. Could it be double trap games for Oklahoma and Texas looking ahead to each other next week? Keep an eye on that.
Miami's 14-point favorites against Vatek.
Sorry. Stop broadcasting ACC football unless it's Clemson.
Or Wake.
Sorry, but Wake's on weekdays.
Yeah, no, on Friday nights. Specifically,
those are locked. Yeah, I'm taking the Canes. Vatek looks like it's
there's just more positives with Miami. And like offensively, you know, like KJ Osborne and Jeff Thomas are playmakers at receiver. DJ Dallas can rip off big runs. Jaren Williams, I know he's been up and down, but he's a freshman. He's clearly got talent. Whereas like Virginia Tech doesn't really have anything.
They look pretty dead in the water right now. There's just no
like light. Reggie Floyd, their safety is really quite good, but I don't know. It's like there's veteran leadership on the Miami defense too. Like they don't trick me as a team that's just gonna lie over and lay down and die this season. Like they're gonna fight in games at least. And
yeah, like Vatek's two wins were Old Dominion and Furman, and they struggled with both of them.
This feels like Justin Fuente is out the door.
It does, and I've always had a soft spot for Vatek, and I like Justin Fuente, but I think the Canes could roll them. I don't. Makes me sad, Rob.
7 p.m. on ESPN, number 3, Georgia, 25.5-point favorites at Tennessee.
Tennessee football is bad. I know that for a fact. Georgia's good. Not overthinking this. I don't know if anyone does... Did they still show up in Neyland? Like, how could you? I'm taking Georgia.
I wouldn't. I'm going to take Georgia as well. I mean, there are some things to pay attention to with Tennessee. Trey Smith, the receivers. Daniel Petulia at linebacker. But, yeah, this is, essentially a tune-up game for Georgia now. Especially coming off the big Notre Dame win, this is just... just destroy Tennessee and move on. 7:30 p.m. ABC, number 25 Michigan State at number 4 Ohio State. Buckeyes 20-point favorites. I guess this is the good late game?
I guess. This scares me that it could be a classic dirty Big Ten football game. Michigan State's defense is pretty good. I'm still taking Ohio State to cover. I think, like, Michigan State, I don't think they're going to be able to score on Ohio State. I think Fields and that offense, just too much firepower there that they'll eventually pull away. Yeah, and,
like, I'm excited to see, like, Kenny Wilkie's, Joe Bachy, and, like, those guys against a top-tier team. Mm-hmm. But overall, yeah, I think if it gets into a score fest, Ohio State's going to dominate in that way. And if it's a slug-it-out fest, like, Ohio State's just got way more talent on both sides of the football.
Exactly.
Okay, 8 p.m. Fox, Cal at number 13, Oregon. Oregon 18-point favorites. If Chase Garbers didn't get hurt, this game would be a whole lot more interesting, and Cal probably would have beat ASU last week.
Exactly, yeah, for sure. And I would have been taking Cal plus the points. Probably would have only been, like, what, 10 points? Like, is Monster worth that little? I don't know. I'm taking the Ducks now. Monster looks so bad.
It's still an interesting game to see Justin Herbert against that Cal secondary.
I'm very
excited to see Ashton Davis in the Cal secondary against Herbert and see how this Oregon offense calls the game, because they've been very protective of Justin Herbert thus far and kind of keeping him away from contact throughout games and not relying much on the receivers to get open on their own. So it'll be interesting. It could be a really boring game, but yeah. It could be a lot like what Oregon did to Stanford, just boring but easily win.
Yeah, that's fair. I wish Garbers didn't get hurt, because the Cal's actually a fun team.
Yeah, they are. I like them. I enjoy Justin Wilcox as a head coach. Finally, 10:30 p.m. ESPN, sticking to the Pac-12 with some after-dark action. Number 15, Washington, heading to Stanford. Huskies, 14.5-point favorites.
I'm taking the Huskies. Yeah, I went a little back and forth, but Stanford's just not the same.
Costello's constantly banged up. We don't know if he's even going to play. And exactly. Like, they've had so many injuries. This is just a wash of a Stanford season. That's why I think KJ Costello's going to go back to school.
That's fair. Like, he hasn't, again, like you said, the injuries, and when he's been on the field, he doesn't look great. I think it'd make a lot of sense for him to go back to school.
This game matters for Eason. To see how he plays against a team that's got
on the road,
on the road in conference, seeing like Paulson Adebo, obviously. You just want to see Eason string together some strong games. He was fine against USC. They played him really well to kind of like make him rely on short stuff. So it wasn't a very exciting game. He's fine
for sure.
But
struggled last time he went down to the Bay Area against Cal. I mean, better secondary, but like you said, Adebo's there.
So it's an interesting game. All the games, other than Votech Miami, have some reason to watch. But yeah, not the best week. Next week's better. The week after is even better. Anyway, that's us. That's us here at Seven Runs in Heaven. We're done. You can follow AJ on Twitter at AJMarchese13. You can follow me at RobPaulNFL. You can listen to our NFL podcast, Wrestling the Starters, on your favorite podcast app. You can head over to armchairmedianetwork.com and listen to all kinds of podcasts, or read my NFL draft column or NFL rookie column, or head to profootballnetwork.com and read all kinds of stuff.